Rest. For those of you who are with us for the first time, my name's Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And I just figured as we go into the fall, you guys get to sit all the time. So I just thought it was time for me to get the chance to relax and rest a little bit as well. We're really excited today as we take this step into the fall because we're launching into this new conversation called rest. It's interesting, you go into the summer and there's all of these plans for how you're going to rest and how you're going to relax. And we travel to some of the most amazing places, some of the most beautiful places, some of the most relaxing places. We spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on comfort. And yet, even if we can find it, it's amazing how quickly it leaves us. Even if we find rest and relaxation, it's amazing how fleeting it is. Last week, I had the opportunity to be with some of my friends from college, and we had a really restful and relaxing weekend. But I walked into my office on Tuesday morning, and it was gone. All of it was gone. And the tension and all that needed to be done came flooding back. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's worse when you get back than when you left because there's all this that needs to be responded to and so many different things that have piled up. It's amazing. Even if we find it, it's amazing how fleeting it is. It's amazing how quickly it can leave us. And then some of you, you may be here and you're a parent like me and you've begun to awaken to the reality that there is no more vacations for you. I tell people, I say, once you become a parent, you don't go on vacation. You just go to make memories. And making memories is great. It's just not vacation. And oftentimes in the middle of making memories, you pray for when you can get back because it's much harder than when you're at home. And then there may be some of you here as well who don't believe in rest. You think you're Superman. You think that you can just go and go and go and go and go and go. You think you're the Energizer Bunny. Just turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not Superman. Some of you need to say that to yourself every morning in the mirror. You do, because you think, I can just keep going. You don't go on vacations to rest. You go on vacations to explore. I don't understand you, but you do. I think your life must be really boring if that's what you do on vacation. But I don't know what it is in your life that drives it. But what I do know is this. For most of us, we live our lives very tired. We live our lives tired. And we don't really know what to do about it. We don't know how to fix it. We don't know how to change it. And we know that we need rest. We don't know how to find it. And then we don't know how to hold on to it. For some of us, this is so much our reality that you can't even remember the last time that you felt rested. Actually rested. But then Jesus steps into our story. Jesus steps into our story, and as he's talking to his followers, he says something really powerful. I want to take you to the passage. It's found in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus is speaking to those around him. He says this, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Come to me, you who are weary, you who carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear and the burden is light. Jesus steps into our story. He says, come here. And he uses words to describe this journey of following him. He uses words like restful and easy and light. That's how you would describe church, right? That's if you were to capture Christianity, that's how you would describe it, right? Restful, easy, light. This is some of you, you were invited by your friend today, and you had no idea what to expect, but I would be willing to bet that you didn't expect restful and easy and light. As a matter of fact, for many of us, if we were to describe our church experience or describe Christianity, if we were to put words to it, it's far more likely that we would use words like heavy, exhausting, hard. But then Jesus says, come here. The journey of following me, and he uses these words, restful, easy, light. Every time I come to this passage, there's something inside of me that leaps. There's something inside of me that awakens. There's a craving that I can't control. Every time I read these words, there's something inside of me that says, I need that. Every time. It's not just that I want it. It's that there's something inside of me that says, I need that. I need that. And Jesus says, I've come to bring rest to your soul. For the next couple of weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to ask a question. Is Jesus a liar? Or is there more to this? Because I don't think very many of us actually experience this. So the question is real. Is Jesus actually telling the truth? Or is there more to this that we have not yet found? That we are not yet experiencing? And what in the world does that look like? Now it's interesting because when you come to this passage, one of the first things that you see is that Jesus clearly sees rest differently than we do. He interacts with rest a little bit differently than we do because we think that rest seeps in. We think that rest works its way from the outside in. That's why we spend as much time as we do on comfort. That's why we buy that massage chair that shakes us for hours. That's why we do the things that we do, because we think that rest works its way from the outside in. But it's interesting when Jesus talks to his disciples, he says, I will bring you rest. But then the next time he says it, he clarifies it further. He gets more specific. He says, I'll bring you rest. Let me be a little bit more clear. I will bring rest to your souls. We have this idea and we interact with life like rest seeps in. So I'm going to experience rest out here and it's going to seep in. But Jesus has a different view. He says, no, rest starts with your soul and it seeps out. It's not a new principle, it's just an ignored principle. It's not an unknown principle, it's just an ignored principle that rest doesn't seep in, it seeps out. And so when you have turmoil in your soul, it becomes impossible to actually rest. You see, Jesus understood if your soul isn't at rest, you won't actually know rest. I said earlier, many of us, we live our lives tired. The better way to say it might be this: we live our lives unsettled. We're unsettled. There's something in our soul that's unsettled. There's two ways to look at rest. You can look at rest as the idea of sleeping, or maybe more appropriately, this idea of rest is that something would actually settle, that it comes to rest. But for most of us, our souls are not settled. They're not at rest. And there's this turmoil in our soul. And so it doesn't matter how many days you take off. And it doesn't matter how many vacations you have. And it doesn't even matter how much you sleep. You can't find rest. Why? Because you're expecting rest to seep in. And Jesus is saying, no. Until you find rest for your soul, you're not actually going to know rest. And he says, I've come to bring rest for your soul. And if you'll come to me, those of you whose soul is uneasy, those of you whose soul is unsettled, he said, if you come to me, I can bring rest to your soul. And when your soul is at rest, it changes everything. All of a sudden, you can sleep better. And make no mistake about it, as we walk through this, this is something that I struggle with deeply. We're walking through this together. And there are many nights that I lie there and I can't sleep. My whole life I've struggled to sleep, and it's because there's oftentimes unrest in my soul, and there's questions that I'm trying to answer, and there's things that I'm trying to figure out, or there's conversations, and all of us have these. There's conversations happening in my head that are never actually going to happen in real life because I'm probably never going to see that person again. But I spend hours rehashing conversations that if I ever do see them, that's exactly what I'll say, but I know I wouldn't say that if I saw them. There's unrest in my soul. Jesus understands rest seeps out, and when you experience rest in your soul, all of a sudden you can sleep better. All of a sudden you can relax better. All of a sudden you can enjoy better. You can live better. There's so much that's being written right now. For those of you who read what's being written in the business world and what's being written in terms of leadership, there's so much that's being written right now about rest, the importance of rest. You need to rest. It impacts your whole life. It impacts your performance. It impacts the way you experience what you do. It impacts your ability to be able to accomplish. Everywhere, every time I turn around, somebody's writing about rest. But we don't know how to actually do that because we begin at the wrong place. And so we think that we're going to accomplish that, or we're going to experience that by taking another day off, or by taking another vacation, or by spending more money on comfort. And so we do that, but we continue to struggle to actually rest because at the core, in our soul, there's turmoil. There's turmoil as we think about the future and what that's going to look like and what's going to happen with our job. And there's turmoil in terms of relationships and the hurt that we've experienced, the pain that we've experienced. And there's all this turmoil, and as a result of it, we can't actually rest. And Jesus steps into your life and my life and says, come here. Those of you who can't find rest, all of you who are weary, all of you who are carrying around those heavy burdens, says, come here. Come here, and I will bring rest to your soul. Sit with me. sit with me. Allow me to teach you, and I will bring rest to your soul. It's interesting. In another passage in Jesus' life, another story in Jesus' life, Jesus is going to visit two women who eventually become very, very close friends of his. And as he's going to visit them, there's this interesting scenario that plays out, because he comes to their house, and as he comes into their house, he begins to teach, but one of the sisters, Martha, she's trying to make sure that she takes care of Jesus. She wants to serve Jesus. She wants to make sure that the house is prepared for Jesus. And at this time, it's not like he called ahead. So Jesus just shows up at the door, and what are you going to do? And she's trying to get the meal ready. She's trying to get everything prepared. She's trying to put everything in place. But then her sister is just sitting there as Jesus is teaching, and she's just sitting. It says she's sitting with Jesus. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she's just soaking up everything that Jesus is teaching. And as Martha watches this, she becomes more and more frustrated. She becomes more and more agitated, until finally she comes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, why don't you do something about this?" Because she's trying to make sure that everything is prepared. She's trying to make sure that everything is taken care of. She is literally the hostess with the mostest. And so she comes to Jesus. Listen to what it says in Luke chapter 10. It says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, does it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her." The parallels between these two passages are really powerful, because in this moment, Martha comes and says, why don't you tell her to help me? And he says, no, you need to understand the value of what she's doing. You need to understand how important it is what she's doing. And you're worried about all these other things, and you're concerned about it. He said, but you need to understand the value of what she's doing. She's found something really valuable, and it won't be taken from her. And in this moment, you see that she's come, and she's sitting with Jesus, and he's teaching her. It's exactly what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 11 when he says, come and let me teach you. Come and sit with me, and let me teach you. We have so much turmoil in our soul. Let me ask you something. What's happening in your soul right now? For most of us, it's a terrifying question, because we don't want to go there. And we don't want to think about that. It's why we have another drink. It's why we can't sleep. It's why we continue to pick up our phone so it can distract us. Because we don't want to actually think about what's happening in our soul. But as Jesus steps into your life, he says, I've come to bring rest to that if you'll let him in, which means that you're going to have to open the door. What's happening in your soul? Will you pray with me? Father, I just want to pray for those who are here. Father, this can be a terrifying question for many of us, because we've ignored it and we've hid from it and we've tried to just push it away. But Father, I pray for those who are here and those who are listening online. I pray that they would have the courage. I pray that they would have the faith. I pray that they would trust you, that they would trust you in this promise that you've made to us, that you can bring rest to our soul. I pray that they would trust you enough to be able to open that door and to be able to be honest with themselves and to be able to ask, okay, what's actually happening in my soul? Father, I pray that you would unveil that in their lives. I pray that you would allow us to be able to see with clarity the turmoil, not so that we can sit there, but so that we might be able to actually experience you in it, that we might be able to actually know what you have said is possible, that we might know rest in our soul. In Jesus' name. What's happening in your soul? What are the things that have you unsettled? What are the heavy burdens that you're carrying? What are the questions that you're trying to figure out? The things that you spend hours and hours and hours trying to find the answer to. Jesus is stepping into our lives and saying, would you please come and sit with me? But we don't like to sit. We like to go, especially in the midst of turmoil. When we experience turmoil, we very rarely slow down. We usually speed up because we've got to fix it. And there's more to be done, and there's more that needs to happen. And usually, as Jesus steps into our lives and says, "Listen, come here. Let me. Would you just sit with me? Let me teach you." Usually, our response is, "Oh, yeah. I just got to finish this one more thing. I just have to figure this one thing out, and then I'll come and sit. I just have to." And Jesus said, "No. Would you just come and sit?" Well, Jesus, could this be a standing meeting? That way, it just doesn't take too long. Standing meeting. We can move on. He said, "No. Would you just come and sit?" But we think that we have to find the answer just a couple verses before Jesus talks about rest. As a matter of fact, it's in the same conversation before he gets to the part about rest. I want to take you to something else that he says. Listen to what he says in verse 25. Just a couple verses earlier. It says, "At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer, 'O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way.'" You see, the reality is that the rest of Jesus is never found by those who think they can find the answer. Never found by those who think that they're wise and clever. And you know what's true of us? We think we're awfully wise and clever. Go ahead and turn to the person next to you and say, "You're not so wise and clever." You guys enjoyed that way too much. The smiles on your faces were a little wicked in that moment. But we do. We think we're awfully wise and clever. And so when Jesus steps into our lives and says, "Come and sit," we say, "Yeah, Jesus, as soon as we figure this out. Just let me figure this one thing out, and then I'll come and sit." As long as we continue to do that, we will never know the rest of Jesus. Our souls will continue to be in turmoil. And the whole time, Jesus is saying to us, "Come on, come here. Come here, come here, come here, come here. Just sit. And let me teach you." This is one of the reasons why we think that this journey is hard and heavy and exhausting, because we actually think that Jesus expects us to find the answer. We think, many of us, we think that Jesus is sitting back saying, don't screw this up. You got to figure this out. Why can't you figure this out? You need to get this right. Don't screw this up. It's one of the weights that we carry. All the while, Jesus is saying no. It's not supposed to work that way. I don't expect you to figure it out. I don't expect you to have the answer. I don't expect you to get it right. I just want you to come and sit with me and let me teach you. As we begin this journey together, I want for you to begin to practice something with me. You see, life this week, I guarantee you, is going to bring you turmoil. Whether it happens in your family, or whether it happens in your relationship, or whether it happens at work, I guarantee it's going to bring it to all of us. Life is going to bring you turmoil. And in that moment, you are going to do what most of us instinctually do, most of us naturally do. You're going to want to move faster. You're going to want to figure it out. You're going to want to be able to get it done in that moment. And what I want to invite you into is a practice that when you experience that turmoil, that you will take a second to just sit. That in the midst of it, you will hear the invitation of Jesus to you. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Some of you are here and you're exploring this and trying to figure out this whole Jesus thing. Listen, this invitation is available to you. And there's a couple things I know about you. One, you need this. You know that you need it. And two, God is pursuing you. That's why you're here today. And He wants for you to know this. And so for you, for every single one of us, when we experience that turmoil, to just say, okay, wait. I know my natural inclination is to move faster, but I'm not going to. I'm going to sit with Him. And to begin to practice in the midst of the turmoil, sitting with Him. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be long. It's just in the midst of that moment, taking the time to say, wait, I'm not so wise and clever. I'm not so wise and clever. To trust Jesus in His invitation. And wherever you are, and whatever circumstance you might be in, just to sit down for a moment and to bring it to Him. To invite Him into the turmoil. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't take big words. I know some of you, this may be the first time that you ever pray in your life. It's just as simple as saying, Jesus, You've said that You can bring rest into my soul. Right now, this is what's happening, and I want to invite You into it, because I'm not so wise and clever. And I want to ask You to teach me. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll be looking at all the different ways that God brings rest into our lives. But it begins with the practice of sitting with Him. And as we go into the fall, there's going to be so much in your life that is going to try to pull you away from the rest that Jesus has for you and distract you from that rest. We must get good. We must begin to practice over and over again sitting with Him. To hear His invitation. Come on, come here. Just sit. Would you just sit with me? J- Jesus, the lover of your soul, is inviting you. Would you just sit with me? I asked you earlier, what's happening in your soul? I want to ask you to bow your heads. Will you accept the invitation of Jesus right now to sit with him? To bring to him the turmoil. Not to hide it, not to run from it. To bring to him the future, to bring to him that situation at work, to bring to him that relationship, to bring to him that hurt from your past. What's unsettling your soul? Jesus is inviting you. Come to me. Sit with me. Give to me that burden. Will you sit with him? Don't pull yourself out of it. There's something inside of us. We're so driven by what we can accomplish. There's something inside of us that says, wait a second, no one's talking. We're wasting time. No, we're just going to sit with him. Father, I pray that right now, every person in this room, every person watching and listening, that they would experience the power of your love. I pray that they would be overwhelmed by the reality that you would come and sit with us, the way that you value us just sitting and being with you. Father, I pray that they would experience that in an amazing and powerful way. Father, I pray that they would begin to hand to you those things that they've been trying to figure out, that they've been trying to work through, that they've been trying to resolve. And Father, I pray that as we move through the next couple weeks and we begin to practice sitting with you, wherever we are, you've told us that there's nowhere we can go that you're not there, that we would practice just sitting and bringing to you the turmoil, We are not so wise and clever. Teach us. Father, we so deeply need rest. We so deeply need for our souls to settle. And you are our only hope. And so we accept your invitation to come and to sit. And to be taught by you. Father, I pray for the next couple of weeks that you would begin to bring rest to each and every one of these souls. That your love and your power and your glory might be known. As a result, in Jesus' name, amen.